Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome to the Saving with Steve Show. My name is Steve Sexton, where we're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money and basically everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, today's show, we have an outstanding interview with the Chief Executive Officer of ID Seals, one of the top identity protection firms in the country. Ron's going to be talking to us about the A's to Z's of identity theft. What is it? How is it? How to protect yourself? What if it happens to you? What are the things you want to look for when you're getting identity theft protection? And then we have a real estate expert by the name of Glenn Henderson. Glenn sold well over 1,000 homes. He's going to talk to us about the real estate market just here in 2020 and then what we can expect in 2021. But the big thing Glenn's going to be talking about is the five items or five things that you need to make sure of to sell your house for the most amount of money. Now, with that, let's go straight to our first guest. Ron, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me and good to see you again. It's been a while, but you haven't changed and good to see you.
You know what? One of the things that a lot of people don't know about you is you've spent the last 25 years dedicating your life to protecting people and their reputation. And I think that's one of those things where, you know, somebody's got a lot of experience in this world. I'm very thankful that you're on the show. How did you really get started in the identity theft and identity protection business?
Well, you know, I've always been fascinated, and part of my work, previous work with the government, et cetera, they always led me to the arena of identity theft, of cybersecurity, and the field that we're in now. Personally, how the company started back when I started in 2009, between 9 and 11, when not too many people knew what it is about, I went through the experience myself. At the time, I went through a surgery. Back in 2008, I went through a kidney transplant. My wife at the time was my donor. Now, when we, a year later, came to buy her a car, we found out that they couldn't pull her credit. They couldn't pull her credit, and we were wondering what was going on, and come to find out that she was declared deceased. In other words, when apparently she was in the hospital, someone at the hospital or somewhere, we don't know where, obviously, stole her medical identity. And what they've done, they've used it for billing, for medications, for doctor visits. And once they got the co-payment, they submitted back the bill saying deceased. So what we had to do at the time, we had to go back to Social Security and get her back to life. We got a letter from Social Security that says it's literally called alive and well, in which we're able to bring her back to life, to reinstate her with the Bureau, with Social Security, to clean the collection and everything collections account that were on her credit for lack of payment until she was supposedly deceased. Mm-hmm. What we went through, even though I knew what I was doing at the time, what we went through, I don't wish on anyone. You know, the pressure, the aggravation, the feeling. Imagine you're going to buy a car and you're going to open a bank account and they look at you that and saying, well, you don't really exist. So yeah, so that was quite a thing. So ever since then, I've been determined and I said, you know, I'm going to create something that someone does not ever have to go through what I went through and help them not only protect themselves going forward, but if something does happen, I want to make sure that they have all the support they need to resolve it as quickly with the least amount of pain as efficiently as possible. And here we are 10 years later.
I think that's wonderful. And, you know, I'm glad your wife's alive too.
Yeah.
You know what? So let's start with understanding what identity theft is. So could you take us through that?
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, identity theft apparently goes back many, many years ago. And people don't know, but if you look even at the biblical time, if you remember the story about Jacob and Esau, right? When Jacob came to his father, Isaac, and pretend to be his older brother and wore lambskin on his hand because his brother was hairier than him. And he went to his father pretending he was the brother so he can get the inheritance from his father, thinking he was the older son because the father was blind. So that was the first case of identity theft when we're looking at the biblical time, you know. But basically what it is someone using your identity to either perform a crime, to steal money, to pretend that they are you to get benefits. And there are a few types of identity theft. Obviously, there's medical identity theft, there's criminal identity theft, and there's credit identity theft or financial identity theft. So we can talk more about a little bit more about what that means and how to help yourself.
Well, let's talk about how common it is, because you know what, I hear stories more than I'd like. And you know, since I'm in the financial field, I have clients get affected by it, the whole shot. So how common is it?
Very, very. In other words, so common that one out of every three people have experienced identity theft. Oh. So it is very common. And let's even take, I'll give you examples that are numbers that are astounding. So if you look, for example, at tax returns, right? Tax returns are a big thing. Obviously, people stealing tax returns, and the IRS had stopped millions and millions over, I believe it was over 20 million of tax returns were stopped because they were fraudulent. And it cost over $5 billion of money that was sent to the wrong people that taxes were filed in their name. And we'll take an example. If you remember, that was a while back, but in 2015 even, Intuit, you know, a company that behind TurboTax, they really had to shut down their e-filing completely because the fraud is picked up so much in so many states. They didn't want to take a chance anymore. So, you know, if you're talking about number, now if we talk about medical identity theft, right? Medical identity theft is on the rise constantly. And the numbers are just staggering as to the amount of people that have no idea that someone is using their insurance. Literally, somebody's using their insurance pretending they're them. And that could be life. There could be life consequences. If I look personally, I have had a kidney transplant, right? And I'm on certain medications. So if someone had stolen my medical identity, perform a medical identity theft, it could go into my file. My prescriptions can be changed. Mm-hmm. If I have any allergies, that can be changed. Blood type can be changed. That could cost someone's life. So I think we need to understand that we can't just take it lightly. It is very serious and it can happen. And it's really not a question of if, but a question of when it's going to happen.
Yes. Yeah. One of the things I was listening to Frank Abagnale, who works at the FBI at a conference, and he had talked about how on the dark web, it's more expensive to buy a newborn's information because they can have the identity longer and make more money off it because nobody's really going to pay attention until they're 18 years old. And he just said, he goes, you know what, a lot of times people could be posting things like birth dates, where they were born, and a small little baby picture. And you know what, they have a whole identity there because that's almost all they need. Is that right?
Absolutely. And more than that, look, beside the fact that identity theft, kids' identity theft is on the rise. And like you said, it's a really difficult situation. Because as a kid, you don't check your credit on a regular basis. You don't really know what's going on your credit until you go to supposedly apply for student loans, right? Mm-hmm. So parents are really left holding the bag when the kid is 18 and now they see that the kid has already owned and had many credit cards and they have no idea where it's coming from. But the situation is that when you go on vacation, when you go and you post, what do we do today? We live on Facebook. Facebook has billions of users, right? And if you look at that, you go on vacation and you post a picture of Steve with his wife and the dog's name is Brownie, and you're on a vacation and with the kids and celebrating your kid's birthday. So if I'm a hacker, so here's what I got now. I got Steve, I got your name, I got Steve's wife, and I got Steve's mom because she was on vacation, or Steve's mom was on vacation, and now I know Steve's mom's last name, and I know Steve Maiden's name, and now I know Steve's favorite dog, and I know Steve's favorite vacation, and his son's birthday because they were celebrating the birthday, and now I create a synthetic identity, and voila, I'm a new Steve now, and I can go and do whatever I want if I'm able to.
But you just told me that somebody could wake up, pour a cup of coffee, and steal my identity in a minute and a half.
Yeah, if it takes that long, yes.
Yeah, look. Thank you.
Look, here is the thing. You can't stop living your life, right?
Well, no, I agree. I was just coming to the reality of what could happen and trying to get people to understand that, geez, there is a lot that people don't realize and how they need to take precautions.
Yeah. And look, There are many things. I mean, I can tell you that one of the things that was important to us when you talk about social media is to have social media monitoring on our platform where we can monitor your Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram. When we can see if any reputation alerts. So it was a really important thing for us to monitor that, and even more so to monitor your kids' social media accounts. You know, we find out that, for example, forget about identity for a second, let's talk about our kids' safety. 90% of the kids that are being cyberbullied do not even report that to their parents, right? So as a parent, when you can monitor your kids' social media accounts, which we do, you can see anything that's going in the social media life without them coming to tell you. You can't prevent identity theft, but you can protect and do the best you can to minimize it.
Especially for the ones you love.
I mean, exactly.
Wow. Why don't we take a short break right here? I just want to take a moment and say, hey, I want to truly thank you for tuning in, and I appreciate letting your friends and family know and associates know about the show. All the replays are available here on savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories, the helpful information and insights in Saving with Steve, I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube page. I want to send a special thanks out to our networks, UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV and Las Vegas TV, as well as AMFM 247 Radio, as well as all the stations across the states that carry our show. I want to thank you all and allow us to, you know, if you'd like to become part of our Facebook page, our Insiders Club, just go to savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. And we're going to take a quick break right now and be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome back. We have Aran Sinai, who is the CEO of ID Seal. He's in charge of an identity theft protection company. He's been providing us some wonderful information and, you know, how identity theft is, how it affects you, how people can do this. We want to talk about how people can protect themselves. What do they need to look for in identity theft protection? And Ron, hey, thank you for being with us today.
Great. Thank you for having me again, and good to be back. So, you know, to sum it up, and then I'll get a little bit more into details, but to sum it up, I call it the three M's, okay. The three M's. Minimize, monitor, and manage, okay? So, and we'll get into each one of those when we talk about what to look for when you're looking for an identity theft protection, right? But to start, there are a few tips I'd like to give people, and hopefully that will help, especially with the holiday season. Look, we're living in a world that we've never been used to before with COVID-19 and how we're living our lives now. Most everyone is working from home now. Being that we are working from home, we become much more vulnerable. And a lot of people using personal computer. And even if they use work computers, they don't necessarily log into the work network, mm-hmm. right? So they're not as protected as they would be if they've been in the office. Add to the fact that you're done working on your computer, maybe your kids jump on your computer, maybe you leave it open, and hackers know that. So just because you say, what are they going to steal from me? It's not that. They work in a system of digging, right? It's called a dig. They fish for a lot of information and they sort through it. And your information can be part of the information they steal, regardless when you have something to steal or not, right? So most common way and most common method of which proves to be the number one way of people how they get to information is phishing. So phishing meaning they send you emails, you get emails that they look like the email from someone you know, and they even experts are saying that sometimes it's very, very difficult to distinguish between a real email or a fake email. And what people do, press a link. As soon as you send a link, there's malware on your computer. They got in your computer and they got everything you got on that computer. So very important, number one, be very vigilant and look at emails you get. If you're not sure you get some links, be very careful who it's coming from. And even people said hover over the from and see where it's coming from. That's great. But if someone hacked into your email, they'll send me email from your email and I'll think it's you, right? So if you're not sure, make a phone call. Call and, hey, Steve, did you send me a link just now? Just want to make sure before I download that link. You'll be amazed that how many people don't even know the email has been hacked, right? So this is really tip number one. Be very vigilant and careful about emails you get and links you press. Number two.
Can I add one thing to that?
Absolutely.
On Monday of this week, one of my peers in my industry, the financial consulting industry, all of his clients were sent a link to fill out their financial information to have an assessment before year's end. He never sent it. His email got hacked. And there was three people who opened it up and filled it out. So what he's doing is he's paying for identity theft protection for them. But I mean, they thought it was exactly his because I went over to his office and saw the email and he said, yeah, look at this. It looks exactly like me.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's the scary part that, you know, today hackers don't only target big companies. They also target smaller businesses, individual like smaller financial planners, attorneys, doctors. There's a lot of information you can get from there stealing information from those individuals. So it's very, very important. The damage could be huge, right? Mm-hmm. Check your bank account and credit card statements on a regular basis. You know, that's how it starts. You may have a dollar charge in your bank or a dollar on your credit card. Set alerts on your credit cards. Okay, set alerts and always set two-step authentication for every login you do.
Right? Help two-step people understand what two-step authentication is.
Okay, so when you log into your bank account, you can go into the setting and ask for two-step authentication. What that means is if at any given time you will log into your bank account, you will have to then receive a text from the bank with a security code. And only with that security code that will come to your personal cell phone, you'll be able then to complete your login to your account. And that you should do that with your emails. You should do that with your social media account. You should definitely do that with all your financial accounts to be on the safe side.
I want to add something to everybody who's listening. If you're getting your tax return here, tax season's coming up.
Yeah.
This would be a perfect time to make sure you have two-step authentication when you send information to your CPA. I would recommend doing it through a Google Drive or a protected drive of some sort, or mailing it as opposed to emailing it in attachments. And if they're sending you the tax return, make sure it's password protected with that two-step authentication, because I already know of one CPA firm that got hacked and they are spending a lot of money trying to protect themselves from clients that have had their identity stolen.
Right. And also, I may want to add to that when you do file your taxes, try to file it as soon as you can. That leaves a very short and small windows to hacker to file it in your name. Because what hackers do, they wait for when they know you get your W-4, W-2s, 1099s, and all that information. And then immediately they'll try to file taxes in your name. So as soon as you get the information, be prompt in filing your taxes. That will reduce the risk of someone filing in your name. Okay. When it comes to medical identity theft, I know it's not easy, but check your monthly statement on a regular basis. The only way you can know, if you don't have any protection and you don't know what's going on, the only way to know is looking at your insurance statements. If someone is using your medical card, you will see the charges on your medical statement. So check your insurance statement.
A medical statement is called the explanation of benefits. It's EOB. You'll start receiving those in the mail, usually sometimes around 30 days after some sort of an appointment. If you start receiving those, very important to check that out.
Absolutely. Yes, it is. And look, when you go on a public Wi-Fi, try to use a VPN, a virtual private network. Try to use a VPN because your public Wi-Fi you're using may not be safe. As long as you're in a place with it, when there is Wi-Fi, use a virtual private network, which is a VPN that can help you not only surf maybe faster, but surf in a secure manner where your information can be protected and people cannot get into your phone.
I have a question. What about the hotspots?
again, hotspot is coming directly from your phone, right? You're using your phone. Yeah. So if your phone has, if you're working with a VPN, then it's fine. But if you're using any hotspot that is not secure, it's the same as using a Starbucks or any other
public Wi-Fi. Okay, just want to make sure people are clear, because I want to make sure they understand the difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, and when it comes to identity theft protection, look, I may be not the right person to ask, although I have the knowledge, because I'll recommend IDSEAL, right? Because but here are things that you can look at, right? What we care about is your credit. Obviously, you want to make sure you check your credit on a regular basis. Think about it, for example, as a holiday gift or something to your kids. When you protect your kids and when they're 18, how beautiful would that be to get a copy of the credit report when they're 18 and to make sure to see that it's clean, right? So you want to make sure you get monitoring. You want to make sure you have the ability to examine your credit report for any changes that are happening. Yes, I know you get alerts, but sometimes you do want to look to see, to examine your credit. You want to make sure that your protection is including dark web protection for your emails, for your passport, for your driving license, that you have elements of change of address notification. If somebody's trying to change your address, that's how identity theft starts. It's a very big, big thing, right? Mm-hmm. You want to make sure you have court record monitoring. Parents want to make sure that the kid's social security is protected. And if any changes in tracking and tracing the social security theirs and their kid's social security, those are very important factors. You want to make sure that the coverage includes recovery and not just arbitration of sort. And you want to make sure that obviously part of the insurance you get, and for example, I know we offer a 24/7 lost wallet protection. So if you were to travel and you lost your wallet, you will call one number 24/7. They'll help you replace everything you had in your wallet and stop all the cards that you've lost. So you don't have to start calling different credit cards and different companies. And we'll also guarantee that, for example, if you had cash in your wallet through the insurance may decide that if you had that cash in your wallet, you'll get up to $500 cash reimbursement, for example. So there are things that you really want to make sure that you understand what you're getting. A lot of companies try to confuse you with a lot of fancy names. Spend a little time and remember, look, when someone's going to try to break into your house, they're going to break into your house if they really want to, right? Mm-hmm. But if you have an alarm system, they'll think twice about it and they'll go to the neighbor. Same thing with identity theft protection. So to protect you enough, to make it difficult enough, and coming up early next year, the beginning of the year, we're adding some incredible one-of-a-kind elements that will protect your personal privacy and your devices, including VPN and a lot of other features. And you want to make sure that you get all those included in your coverage.
Ron, I want to thank you for joining us today. How do people go? It's just IDSEAL.com. Is that where people go?
Yep, IDSEAL.com. And it's the great time to sign up, great time to give that as a present for the holiday. And I think that if you do join now, when we launch the new product, it's called IDSEAL Protect. It's one of a kind, revolutionary product. And you'll just get that along when you join.
Ron, I want to thank you for joining us. I hope you have a wonderful holiday season, and I'll look forward to talking to you the next day or so if we could.
Absolutely, Steve. Same here. Thank you, and happy holidays to you and everyone else.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye, Steve.
Hey, we're going to take a break, and we're going to be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
I want to welcome everybody back to the show. Wasn't that just wonderful? That was Ron Sinai, the CEO of IDSEAL. Now, here's the interesting takeaways from that. He talked about having a second step authentication for your financial documents. What that really means here is this, and you've probably already seen this here because we do it in the financial industry a lot. It's where when you log in to your bank statement, okay, or your banking online, you get an email to your email account with a code that you put in there or a text. That way you can protect yourself, whether it be your banking information, your credit card, your tax information, your trust information, so you can protect those things. And one of the things that I heard from people like Frank Abagnale, who works for the FBI, who works in identity theft. He did it, whether it would be undercover as well as in front of people. He made the statement that, you know what, one in three people will have their identity stolen in one shape or form. So it really comes down to not if it's going to happen, it's when it's going to happen. So one of the best ways to protect yourself is to have somebody watching out for you. So if it's 3 years from now and somebody decides to, you know what, steal your identity because they got the information a long time ago and they have enough to take it and go do it and you're on their wavelength, you can still be protected. And it's a wonderful gift to give your kids. So whether you're doing it with ID Seal or somebody else, I recommend you get into it because it will save you money. And that's what we're all about, because we don't want that monkey on your back. Because I know of people who've had their identity stolen. They've had to get attorneys. They've had to fight with the state of California, the federal government. They've had to go prove themselves that they weren't a criminal or a scofflaw because somebody else took their information, put out a whole bunch of credit cards, took out loans, all that kind of stuff, and stole on their dime. So you never want your reputation solely destroyed because of somebody else. So I recommend you look into identity theft. Now, in my next segment, I'd just like to talk to you a little bit about what's going on right now. Since mid-February, we've had the pandemic hit, okay? We saw the market dip almost 1,000 points with the S&P, and then we saw it go back. And we've seen basically from beginning of the year to the end of the year, about a 10% increase in the market, which is wonderful for everybody. And then the year before, the market went up. The year before that, the market went up. It's been a long time since the market's gone up. And since this COVID thing, every time we start hearing about a stimulus, a vaccine, or an antigen that's coming out, or just recently, we're looking at FDA approval here for the vaccine here in the United States. It's already been approved in England and people are receiving it. People are going to feel more comfortable. That means more people have the potential for going back to work, more people working. So the market's probably going to move forward. And every time there's a hiccup, what we end up seeing is this. We end up seeing the market retract a little bit because, hey, there wasn't a stimulus, or they're still fighting over a stimulus, or there is a backstep when it comes to the vaccine. So we see those ups and downs. But the reality is we're hitting some highs, maybe because we should, maybe because we shouldn't, we're not quite sure. This would be the perfect time to take a look at possibly diversifying when things are going well. So let's think about this. You know what? Back in 2007, before the market started contracting, you know what? It kept going up and up and up. And a lot of that had to do with people going into the market because they never thought they'd lose any money. And then when the market went down, they got hit pretty hard. Now, we have situations right now where we're seeing stimuluses, low interest rates, and that's great for the economy. It's going to push it forward, the whole shot. But when those stimuluses end, when you have things like that occur, you're in a situation where, hey, if the market goes down 30%, you're going to need a 43% to break even. So let me make that real clear to you. If you have $1 million and the market goes down by 30%, hey, you're at 70,000 or 700,000. But at 700,000, if you just make 30%, okay, you're not going to get back to even. You've got to go above that in order to get back to a million. And if you're retired and take an income from that, even that got to go higher, okay? In fact, in 2008, just to break even, it took people 4 or 5 years to break even or more. And some people never broke even because they had to take too much money out of their investments to get to where they want to go. And in the same token, people felt so bigged up, they left their money in CDs and cash and things like that. And you know what? That didn't quite work because when you calculate inflation and taxation, you're basically losing money safely within a CD or some sort of fixed account with an interest rate below 2% or 3%. So it's important to take a look, how do I go about diversifying, okay? That's meaning having multiple different assets and multiple different asset classes. So for example, you have real estate. Real estate, hey, it's a wonderful asset. You can get a predictable, you can get an income, you can get tax deductions, and you know what? You can pay capital gains when you sell it. But, hey, we all know real estate. It's risky. It always goes up and down. When we're looking at bonds, hey, bonds seem to be, you know, it's somewhat safe, but they do have interest rate risk. And in this environment with municipal bonds, where not as much, the states are not receiving the tax revenue they used to, they might not have the revenue to pay the bonds, which means there's pressure. So we could have some defaults. So, you know what? Plus, when you're looking at bonds, there's no real growth. It's just an income. When you're looking at stocks, yes, you can get growth and an income and pay lower in taxes. But you know what? Quite frankly, you're in a situation to where, you know what, you're going to have much more risk. And then you have annuities. You know what? A lot of people love annuities because you can create an income. They're principally protected. You can get a reasonable rate of return, but they're not as liquid as a stock would be. And then you have those CDs and the savings accounts and the like. Basically, they're safe. They don't earn much. You're paying interest on everything. You're paying taxes on everything you earn. And if you get out of them early, like a CD, there's a penalty. So you know what? How do you do that? How do you get the perfect investment? Well, the reality is, the perfect investment does not exist. So it's important to look at diversification between the different asset classes to ensure that you're getting the income you need to live the life you want. So let me give you an example. That same $1 million example that I talked about before, what if you had 30% of that in the market, 30% of that in a predictable income investment that's not correlated to the stock market? So if the stock market goes down, you're still earning your interest. And then you have a portion in a guaranteed section where, hey, you're earning money either through a fixed interest or based off the growth of an index, but you never lose your money or never lose what you've gained. So here we go. Hey, we have $1 million and the market goes down 30%. Okay, if you have $1 million in the market, hey, you have 700,000. But if you have it diversified between three different, hey, at risk, predictable income, guaranteed, getting the interest rate you need or the growth rate you need, you'll be in a situation where your 30% went down 30%, which is only 10% of the whole portfolio. Okay, so you only have a 10% loss. Is a 10% loss easy to come back from? A 30% loss? Yes. What's going to happen with the predictable income? Hey, you're not really losing any money, but you're gaining 6%. So that 10% loss just got smaller. If in the guaranteed section, you're getting a predictable income, hey, your loss just got a little smaller. And if it doesn't lose anything, you didn't lose anything, okay? Because it's principally protected. So you're looking at, hey, I might have to recover 8% when the market just went down 30. But if we start taking a look at the following year after a big downturn, you see a significant upturn. And as a result, you can take a look at, hey, I have my 30% have a significant uptake, but I've only lost 8. So I'm going to be ahead of where I was. Plus, I have the predictable income and I see the growth in the protected section. So I can be ahead of the game within a year, as opposed to waiting 2 or 3 or 4 years to get back to even, especially if I need an income. So it's very important that you look at diversification. It's very important that you sit down with a financial advisor that understands the markets and can talk to you about, hey, you know what? So you don't have overlapping market sector, demographics, and all those type of things. Because when you do, then the market goes down. Say, for example, with this pandemic, anything that was socially relatable interaction business, hey, it went down. Anything that wasn't socially interactive, such as Amazon or something like that, continue to move forward. So if you happen to be in that market sector where all your investments in this social interaction area, hey, you're going to lose a whole bunch of money. And it's all right there. So there's no real diversification. But if you have it diversified, you'll learn less and you'll have less risk and you'll be able to get a better rate of return. Does that make that makes sense? It's important to take a look at those things and be properly diversified. So it's very important that you sit down with your advisor and go through the risk that you're looking at to make sure you're not taking undue risk when you don't mow, because we don't want your money to fall through the cracks. Please hold on just a few more minutes. We're going to be moving into our next segment with Glenn Henderson. Again, Aron Sinai was our first segment. Wonderful information on identity theft. Next, we're going to be talking about the real estate market with Glenn Henderson. So stick with us. We'll be right back on Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night. and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
I want to welcome everybody back to the show. Again, I want to thank you all for being our visitors to our show and encouraging your friends and family and networks to watch us on the show right here at Saving with Steve. If you hear a great story and you'd love to follow and see other episodes, go to savingwithsteve.us. I want to send a special thanks out to our networks, BBS Radio, UK Health Radio, and AMFM 247 Radio, as well as our TV stations, TV360. I want to thank you. This is where we're going to be talking about everything under the sun that enables you to have a happier and healthier relationship with money. So on our second segment of the show, we have Glenn Henderson. Glenn Henderson is a real estate expert. In fact, Glenn's been in the business for 18 years. He sells well over 1,000 homes. And you know what? I'd like to talk to you about, you know, what's going on here in 2020. What have you experienced? What's happened in 2021? And then we really want to talk about how to sell your home for the most amount of money. So Glenn, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on today, Steve. It's great to be here.
Well, you're welcome. Now, one of the things that was interesting that I just read, according to the American Mortgage Association, almost got that wrong, they had indicated that right now 6.9% of homeowners are delinquent in mortgage payments. And you know what? That combined with COVID and other things, you know what? Could you talk into what you're seeing in the industry for here in 2020?
Yeah, so that's correct. And with 2020, it's been an interesting year due to COVID and all the job losses. One of the big things that the mortgage companies put into place was the forbearance programs. Mm-hmm. The forbearance programs basically meant that a borrower was able to stop making their payments. Well, the interesting number, the figure is there's about 3 million homes that are in that forbearance program, which works out to about almost 6% of the U.S. Mortgage, or 6% of the mortgages in the U.S. right now are in a forbearance program. And with those forbearance programs, the way they work is your payments are postponed, but they do come due, the majority of these forbearance programs, they do come due at the end of the forbearance period. So people are going to be expected to make a lump payment into these mortgage companies. And if they weren't able to make it on a monthly basis, it's highly unlikely that they're going to be able to make it when that time comes due. So we're expecting to see that default rate is going to climb a lot over that first quarter or first two quarters of 2021. And that number that you mentioned where we're close to 7% of homes that are in default right now, one interesting fact with that is that's the second highest level we've seen since the second quarter of 2010, which was kind of at the peak of the foreclosure crisis.
Oh, so we're on the crest of something.
We are. We definitely are. And right now, what we have is the government's put a lot of protections in place for homeowners, as far as there's a moratoriums on foreclosure proceedings and any type of collection activities on because of COVID. But at some point, once things start to improve and we start to see the upswing of things, you know, those restrictions are going to be lifted. And then that's when we're going to start to see an influx of these properties that are going to be coming onto the market. And I think we're going to see both, you know, a majority of the homes are people that have equity. So we're not going to necessarily see the big foreclosure crisis, but we're going to see a big flood of properties coming on because they're going to need to sell their homes. And then also we are going to see some people that are in situations where they don't have enough equity to be able to sell because of, you know, you have 6 months of defaulted mortgage payments or more. Mm-hmm. They're not going to have enough equity to make up those and the cost of selling. So we are going to see an uptick or an increase in short sales. And then the people that don't seek out a solution and let their properties go into foreclosure.
So if somebody was in that situation right now where They want to stay in their homes. They're just hoping for a new job to come. In fact, I was talking to one of my clients who is in middle management, and he makes a good amount of money. I mean, in the multiple hundreds of thousands. Basically the company he works for decided to cut out a level of management. So they cut out well over 200 people, but all 200 people make multiple hundred thousand dollars a year. So when you look into benefits and everything, it's a big operational expense that gets cut, and obviously somebody else takes over their situation. And he was explaining to me that one of his associates just said, you know what, I'm going to go get the forbearance program. And they said 6 months. And at the end of 6 months, he's going to have to come up with, I think it was $24,000. And he's one of those people that, you know, spends everything all the time, so he doesn't have much saved. Basically his thought is, or his strategy is, hey, you know what? I'm going to look for a job for the next 3 months. And if I can't get one, I'm going to put the house on the market because they're selling so fast. Are you seeing that strategy, or are you seeing people do stuff like that?
We are. We're seeing a lot of that right now, where, you know, everybody's very hopeful that they're going to be able to find reemployment and be able to get back into a job and be able to come current on those forbearance programs. But I think what we're going to see is, and what we are seeing now, is a slow uptick in the number of homes that are coming in the market were part of the forbearance program, but the majority of people are holding out. They're hopeful, or else they just don't have any other option. So that's where I feel in the first and second quarter of next year, we're going to see a real big increase in the number of homes coming on the market, because there's just going to be people that can't hold out any longer, and they're going to need to cash out. And like I said, a lot of these people have equity, so they're going to be cashing out, take that equity, and then they're going to have, you know, money as far as living expenses and moving into rentals, and then just kind of weathering the storm and then getting back on their feet.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you're in a situation right now where, hey, you're in forbearance, what would be the steps that they would want to take if they're looking at those options? Would it be a good time to have a communication with a realtor? What would you suggest?
Absolutely. I think it's always, anytime, whether you're in default or not in default, you're considering selling, the sooner that you start having conversations, the better. And the reason is, the more time you have to plan, the better your strategy that you can put in place, and the more options that you're going to have available to you. Mm-hmm. And also, so talking with the realtor and figuring out, you know, if I do end up need to selling, are there some things that I should be doing to get the home ready for the market, for mm-hmm. example? And instead of being at a time crunch and all of a sudden you need to have your home on the market, and then you're trying to get everything figured out, you had a couple months to plan for it. You know, and then also talking with the mortgage company, anybody that's in these programs, to find out, you know, are they going to be offering any type of a modification plan or any type of a restructuring to try and help these homeowners out. Right now, we haven't heard of a lot, but that's going to continue to change, you know, and that's week by week, you know, different, you know, is. We all see where the economy is going. I'm sure the mortgage companies are also going to be, and the government's going to be stepping in to create programs to try and help homeowners. So keeping an open line of communication with the bank is going to be important for people too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now I want to switch over to somebody is looking to buy a house, okay? And you know what? Obviously, interest rates are low. More people have the ability to afford a house. They might be a little bit worried about the economy, but if they're looking to buy a house, and what are the kind of steps, what are the things that they need to think about, look for, if they're working with somebody like yourself as a realtor to make a good decision on the house that might be the one they want? How would be the best way to communicate with somebody like yourself so that way they can get what they want, and, you know, that type of thing?
Yeah. So for anybody that's looking right now, I'd say, you know, first thing would be making sure that because the inventory is so low, there's not a lot of options. Don't feel like you're pressured and making a lot of sacrifices on the home that you choose because there's not a lot of options out there. Just being patient is a big thing. It was the same thing we saw back in 05, 06 before the last crisis. A lot of people were sacrificing what they wanted in a home because they felt like, well, we need to hurry up and get into something. So don't make sacrifices with that. And then second, making sure that they work with a direct lender that's local to the area that they're buying in, and making sure that they get a full approval in place. So, and being, the difference between a pre-approval and a full approval is making sure that a underwriter has reviewed their full file. So when they're making an offer, it puts them in that much stronger of a negotiating position. question. Mm-hmm.
So I know I get that, because if you got a pre-approval, that doesn't really mean you have the loan. And in fact, there's a lot of steps that have to be put in place, which would cause a longer escrow and all that kind of stuff, as opposed to be having approval. If you have an approval, they know that you can afford it, you can pay for it, and they can probably have a quicker closing and so on. How long is the typical escrow when closing on a house nowadays?
We're averaging 30 days right now.
Okay.
To get through from start to finish. Some, depending on if somebody does have that approval in place ahead of time, some are getting done in about 21, 24 days, but on average, we're running about 30 days.
Mm-hmm. In 2020, so far, 669,000 people have moved out of the state of California. And it's odd because there's few homes out on the market, but still a lot of people are moving, which means a lot of people are buying. Are you seeing more and more people that you're selling homes for actually moving out of state, or just curiosity?
Yeah, we actually are. A lot of our clients have been moving out of state, and there's a few different states that people are moving toward or gravitating towards, but we've seen a big exodus, and a lot of it's just because cost of living's gotten so high. Mm-hmm. With it, and some has beliefs in the way things are being run in California, and a lot of different reasons we've heard. At the same time, we're seeing people leave, we're seeing a lot of people coming into the state too.
Good. Hey, Glenn, I'm going to hold you right there. We're going to take a break and we're going to be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello, I want to welcome you back to the Saving with Steve show. Again, we talk about the ins and outs of money. Whether it be an IRA, 401k, real estate, your retirement, whether it's this country, the UK, it doesn't matter. Today, again, we are talking to Aron Sinai, the Chief Executive Officer of ID Seal, which is Identity Theft Protection, very large company. They're one of the tops in the country. And then we're also talking with Glenn Henderson. He just shared what's going on in 20, what he expects to see in 21 in reference to the real estate market. And now we have the section that's I love to hear. It's really about getting the most out of your house, selling for top dollar. There's five components that you're going to need to think about or to do in order to make sure you sell your house for top dollar. And Glenn's got, he's such an expert and he shared these things before. I think it's wonderful, because one thing you don't know is one of my clients used you and they were talking with a friend. One of the components in here you guys did for her, and it made the difference of getting a, $50,000 over offer, where her friend, they didn't do that one thing. And you know what? They ended up negotiating. Well, besides that, she didn't sell it for the asking price, number one. And number two, they ended up negotiating the price down because certain things hadn't been done. And she even had to pile in another $5,000 to fix a few things. So it was really interesting. And my client, who's your client, was just so thankful that, you were there to guide her through the process and have her do things that she didn't really think that she should do, but in hindsight, best darn thing for it. So, you know what? I want to thank you for helping out my client, and I'd like to talk to you about those five components to sell your house at top dollar. So let's go through them one by one.
Yeah. And I always like to just preface this that anybody can sell a home, and any home will sell. The difference is, are you going to just get your home sold, or are you going to get your home sold for top dollar and keep as much money in your pocket as possible? And that's where focusing on these five components really come into play, and they're so important. So number one is what we call the pre-inspection and getting your property ready for the market. And basically what that entails is, anytime you're selling a home, once you get into escrow, a buyer's going to come through. They're going to do inspections on the property as part of their due diligence. The inspector is going to pick apart your home and come up with a list of things that they say are wrong. And then the buyers use that as a negotiating point or a negotiating tactic against the seller to ask for either price reductions, credits, or for the sellers to make those repairs. So what we do is we do the inspection up front, and we recommend any seller should do this. Find out exactly what's going on with your home and find out what that inspector and that buyer is going to see. And what it does is it serves two purposes. One, if there are any problems or is there anything significant that needs to be addressed, we can do it on our time frame, on our dollar, with our contractors, which is always going to save money. And what it does is it gives us the ability then when we are marketing the home and we start receiving offers, to present the buyers with, here's the inspection, here's the items that we repaired already, and we're negotiating an as-is sale because they know everything up front. So what it does is it takes away that leverage or that negotiating power from the buyer, and it puts the seller in the position of control with that. So that's number one, is our pre-inspection phase. It works fantastic, and it keeps the control in the seller's hands. The number two is the staging. And staging entails getting the home ready for market. And a lot of people say, well, I live in the home, so staging isn't important to me because we already have furniture there. Where staging implies two things. If you have a vacant home, bringing furniture into it, because we've tested this on multiple properties, a staged home always sells faster and it sells for more money. We had one that we just sold, gosh, it was probably about 4 months ago now. Sellers were in the process of moving out. We got an offer on the property. That offer fell through, unfortunately, because the buyer lost their job. So the sellers were moved out of the home at that point. We staged it, put it back on the market. And the second time around, with it staged and everything done the way we like to do and recommend, we sold $35,000 higher on that second time around. This was on a $600,000 home. So it was a significant...
That's not a bad delay.
Oh, absolutely. So it proved that the investment works. But if somebody's living in the home, what we do is we work with our interior designer, and we just help to maximize the space, declutter, and get the home showing as much as we can like a model home. If a seller's out of the home or moves out before we put it on the market, then we bring in our own furniture. But either way, that staging and making it show in its best light and maximizing the use of each room is crucial. And it really does help anywhere from what we've seen, anywhere from 2 to 3% up to almost 10% difference in sales price. And then third is the pricing of the home.
Can I stop you right there? I just got to say something. One of my clients that you helped, it had been like 10 years since they actually painted the house, and they actually thought that they were going to have to paint the house and spend a bunch of money. And you said, no, let's just power wash it. And when you finished power washing it, it looked like a new house because it just cleaned all the dirt off. Yeah. And on top of that, they had I believe it was an English garden. And I mean, to them, it was a beautiful thing, but to other people, it looked like weeds. So you had them redo a few of those things. And it went from that, I want to say, as they said, it goes, you know, according to my neighbors, it wasn't the best looking house in the neighborhood to one of the better looking houses on the neighborhood. And it made a big difference. So they felt much more comfortable selling it. They're really appreciative of that because it saved them a ton of money.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the goal in all of this. And I'm glad you brought that up, is it's focusing on curb appeal and the interior, but making it look as nice as possible by keeping the cost as minimal as possible. But things like the garden, power washing, you know, just a deep clean of the interior, cleaning windows, all these little things that don't cost a lot can go a long ways in improving that that first to present appeal of the home and that curb appeal of the home. And it goes a long ways in the sale. So all of those little things, and that's what we always say, the details. And you focus on the details and you end up with a great outcome.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing that one of them I talked to, and they weren't my client, but they were yours. And the thing is, they had the toughest time with is all their pictures and their personal knickknacks. Yep. And you had a discussion with them and say, you know what, this is what's important to you. This is what makes you a home. Problem is everybody sees this. They can't vision themselves in this home, so they're not going to buy it. And when you, and she said it was the toughest thing for her to take those pictures out and make it a little more generic and a little more homey, but not from a picture standpoint. And she goes, yeah, I mean, it took a week and we had offers. So
yeah, people struggle with it because it's your home, and especially when you've been there for a long time and you've created memories and everything. But like you said, it needs from your personalized home, it then needs to be downsized into a home that appeals to as many people as possible. And one thing we always say is you're going to have to pack no matter what. So by packing all those things and getting everything put away, you just get a head start on the packing once you get into escrow. So
That's good. Okay, so what's the next one?
The next one is pricing. And pricing is so important in having the right pricing strategy. A lot of times we talk to people or they get bad information or they don't get information at all. The realtor just goes off of what they think or the sellers think. But a lot of people think, well, I should start high so I have room to negotiate down, which actually can be very counterproductive. What the goal is to price the property accurately at market level, where with the combination of aggressive marketing, it generates as much interest and as exposure as possible. So we create a situation where we have more than one offer. We have multiple clients that are buyers that are interested in the property. And when we're in that position, it gives us the ability to negotiate the price up. Because when you're in a position where you start too high and you're sitting on the market, it creates a perception of, is there something wrong with the home? Or the sellers each week that it spends on the home, buyers think, well, that seller's going to be, their perception is that seller's going to be more motivated or more likely to reduce the price. Where if we price it accurately up front, those first 14 days are when we're going to have the most interest. And if we can utilize those 14 days to drive as much interest and as much traffic through the home, we generate multiple offers and then we're able to negotiate the price up. And it keeps the seller in that position of control in the negotiating process too.
That's wonderful.
And then the fourth, which is crucial, is the marketing. And so often we see agents that just don't have the experience and the systems in place. And a lot of agents just try to do both, where we specialize and focus heavily on the listing side. We have excellent systems in place to market the homes. And what we say is there's a lot of agents that just do passive marketing. And what we mean by that is they'll put the sign in the front yard, put it on the MLS, put it on a few different real estate websites and just wait and see what happens. Where, again, that will can get a home sold and it'll get people through. It's not going to get you top dollar for the home. We have a very active and aggressive marketing campaign where we do all of those things, but we also have systems and strategies in place where we actively target, identify who the target market is for a property, target and market to them. And that's how we're able to create the most exposure for the home, the most interest, and then in turn get the highest price for our sellers.
So for, you know, when you do that, what's your goal? How many people do you want to go through that house in that 2 week period?
You know, as many as possible. I mean, there's nothing better than seeing our schedule just fill up and have a full day of, you know, hour blocks filled for a weekend in showings. But, you know, it's the most important thing is not just getting people through, but it's making sure that we're getting the buyers that are going to be qualified and able to make that purchase and that are, you know, that ready to make an offer after they see the property with that. And that's our main goal. And we really focus on three components, which is the local micro marketing and the buyers in that area. And then our national campaigns with the property, because we have a lot of people, like I said, still relocating into California and into San Diego. But that should be the same for no matter where you're located, you have people relocating in. So our local campaigns, our national campaigns, and then our international campaigns, because we still have a lot of foreign investment in the U.S. as well.
Okay. And then the last one is it's negotiating, is that right?
Yep, negotiating. And this is a lot of these steps that we talked along, 1 through 4, you know, play into this negotiating component. And this is where it's so crucial that you have an agent that's experienced in the market and experienced in representing sellers, which is crucial too, because negotiating for a buyer and negotiating, you know, a price down is a lot different than when you're on the selling side, especially when you're on the selling side and you have multiple offers and having systems and strategies in place that you can basically create a competitive bidding situation in order to get the price up as high as possible, but also being able to negotiate the best terms for our clients as well. So the negotiating component, I think a lot of sellers don't even know that should be one of the factors that they're really looking at when they're interviewing and selecting an agent. And that's something they need that comes, like I said, along with experience, and not just experience in real estate, but how many homes have they actually listed, marketed, and sold? And then of those homes that they have listed, marketed, and sold, what is their average sales price versus what the home was listed for? So if a seller looks at that, they can see, okay, great, this agent's been selling homes for 2-3% more than what they've been listing them, where this agent's been selling them for 7% less than what they've been listing them. And you can really get a good idea of how well versed is that agent and all of these five components in the marketing, doing everything to get the right offers, but then negotiate the highest price for their clients.
That's wonderful, Glenn. Hey, you know what? We're getting close on time. And I was wondering, you know what, could you share your information, whether somebody's overseas, nationally, looking to move to the San Diego area, how can they go about contacting you?
Yeah, absolutely. So if somebody wants to send me an email, it's Glenn, which is Glen, at phtsd.com, which is a Premier Homes Team, sd, sandiego.com. So phtsd.com. Or you can visit our website at mypremierhomes.com.
And then that's if you want to mypremierhomes.com.
Yep, mypremierhomes.com, or you can always give me a call at 619-500-3222.
Okay, well, this show goes out nationally and internationally. Hope you don't get too many calls. Glenn, I want to thank you so much for sharing your knowledge with us today, because that last portion there of letting somebody know how they can find the right realtor, obviously, and the things that they need to do to make sure they sell their money from top dollar and not have their money fall through the cracks when they're selling their house. So, and the biggest thing here is this: most people don't know what they don't know, and you just shed some light on things that people don't know that can make a difference in their life. So I want to thank you for joining us here on Saving with Steve, and hopefully we'll have you back in the future.
Love it. Thanks again, Steve. Appreciate it.
All right. See you. Have a great day.
Take care.
I want to truly thank everybody for tuning in, and appreciate you letting your friends, family, and associates know about the show. As always, the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories and helpful information and insight on Saving with Steve, I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube page so you can never miss a show. Check out a few of our affiliates like UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Network, and all these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirits, and live a life of financial and personal freedom. Also, follow us on Facebook. Join the Saving with Steve Insiders Club at savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. And get all our replays and exclusive access to our after-the-show videos and guest gifts to take your life to the next level. Thanks for joining us. Remember, smart financial decisions do impact the quality of your life. That's it for me. This is Steve Sexton and the Saving with Steve Show.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Save with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton.